Welcome to the Christian Worship Hour. I'm Mike Salem. My dad, Pastor Salem, was thrilled each week to broadcast messages from the Word of God, where we can hear the glorious gospel and gather together around the world to worship Him. We are grateful for your prayers, for this ministry, and the uplifting letters and notes sent to us. A viewer from Nebraska wrote, "Thank you and God bless all of you at CWH. You bring much joy to our home since we are shut-ins and unable to attend church." And from Minnesota, "Thank you for keeping Pastor Salem's gospel message on the air. God's word is needed in these darker days. The gospel message never grows old." We hope the message today, the Christ of the eternities, will be of assurance to you and bring you peace and joy as you begin your week. God bless you.
I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. And we really have a special service today because we're going to be preaching about the Christ of the eternities. And we're going to see how that Jesus Christ is not just the Son of God, but He is God. And I know you're going to get a blessing from us. So call your friends, tell them tune in, and we'll have a good time worshiping the Lord together. We're looking at the words of the psalmist today in Psalm 86. "Bow down thine ear, O Lord, hear me, for I am poor and needy. Preserve my soul, for I am holy. O thou my God, save thy servant that trusteth in thee. Be merciful unto me, O Lord, for I cry unto thee daily. Rejoice the soul of thy servant, for unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive, and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee." And Heavenly Father, we're thankful that we can always call upon you. And you neither slumber nor sleep, but you're always there and you always hear us. And so we're asking now for our service today, Lord. We're praying that we'll just uplift your name and glorify your name. We're praying that we'll bring many, that many will come to the response of the gospel and be born again, become a child of God. And we pray for those who are sick and those who are lonely and those who are depressed, those who have great decisions and don't know which way to turn. Oh, you are the answer to all of our needs. So this is your service, Lord. We ask you just to bless us and to help us and to use it in Jesus' name. Amen. And Hank has a beautiful song entitled, "I Will Serve Him," and God bless you, Hank.
Thank you, Pastor. I will serve thee because I love thee. You have given life to me. I was nothing before you found.
You have given
was what I longed for. You have given life to me.
Heartache,
broken pieces.
Well, thank you, Hank. And there it is, heartaches, broken pieces. There may be some of you folks that are having troubles today and you're having a heartache. Things are falling apart. Oh, my God. You just come to Jesus and trust in him. And I'm not saying he's going to take you out of the lion's den, but he'll help you through it. He'll carry you through it. And so just lean on him. And what you can do is just say, Dear Jesus, I've sinned against you, and I ask you, come into my heart, take away my sins, and I'll serve you the best I can, and he'll give you peace, and he'll give you strength. That's Jesus. He did it for me. He'll do it for you. Well, we have some letters, some wonderful letters. Thank you for them. We read every one of them, and I wish I could share all of them, but I've got some good letters today. You're just going to love it. And so we're first looking at Jamestown, Missouri. And by the way, if you have your Bibles and you want to follow along, turn to the Gospel of John chapter 1. Gospel of John chapter 1. This is Jamestown, Missouri. I am 69 years old, a Vietnam veteran. It got very dark over there. As with you, sir, I was about 9 or 10 years old when the Lord spoke to me. Come, Larry, go with me, Jesus said. I was baptized, and the good Lord has been with me ever since. I faltered and fallen and even gave up on him a time or two. I've suffered many tribulations. I've felt as though the whole of the world is against me. He is there in the darkest of times, but though he may be hard to see or reach or touch at these dark times, he has never forsaken me. May God keep and bless you all the days of your life, a friend in Jesus. Isn't that beautiful? And the first thing I want to say is we are always so thankful and grateful to the men and women in our services of our country. And we hear from so many of them, and we pray for you and thank God for you. And here's a beautiful letter from this Vietnam veteran. And he says here, among other things, he has never forsaken me. And you know that's exactly right, because Jesus told us, he promised us, I will be with you to the end of the earth. I will never leave thee or forsake thee, he says in Hebrews 13:5. And he told his disciples when he gave them the Great Commission, he would be with them to the end of the earth. He is with us. In the tempest, in the trial, in the troubles, on the mountaintop or in the valley, he's with us. Oh, dear God, I hope all of you trust Jesus. You know, you don't know what you're missing if you don't have Jesus in your life. Here's Odessa, Minnesota. I love the new song. It's helped me in many of the devotions I lead for Our Lady's Aid. Thanks again. And here is the new song. That's a little paper that we put out every month. And this month, the month of January, the Bible study is about great promises of God. So here we are in a new year, 2017, and here's the promises for the whole year, for every year, as long as we live. And when the earth is gone and there's no more sky and there's no more earth, the word of God endureth forever. That's why we preach the Bible. That's where the power is. And so you can write to us. Now get your pencil and paper and I'll get it to the, I'll read a few more letters and I'll give you the address. And you be sure to write to us now. We need to hear from you. Well, let's see. Jamestown, North Dakota. We had a Jamestown, Missouri. Why not Jamestown, North Dakota? And this person writes, your old time sticking to God's word is speaking to my heart. Well, that's what the Bible does. It's the Bible. God tells us the word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the dividing of the bone and marrow and the spirit and the soul. And you know, we talk about the spirit and soul next week. We're going to talk about death and the spirit and soul. The spirit and soul are never separated, ever separated in Scripture. And yet here the word of God can even divide between the spirit and the soul. And that's why we preach the Bible. And I always tell these young pastors, preach the Bible, preach the Bible. Then you can preach with authority. You can get them and say, thus saith the Lord. And you don't say, I hope so, I hope so, I think so, it could be, I don't know. You just, hey, this is what God says, and that settles that. No debate. Well, let's see, Brightwood, Virginia. I just tuned into your program, and so far I like what I see and hear. You make the word of God so plain, even a child can understand. And oh, I tell you, the children can understand my preaching because it's just as plain and simple as it can be, because that's the kind of a man I am. And I can just tell you that the children, we hear from children all the time. Just got one from a little girl, had broken leg, and she wrote in to pray for her. And believe me, we sure did. And I remember I was 10 years old when I accepted Jesus. An evangelist from the Christian Missionary Alliance Church came to our little schoolhouse, and he preached, and I accepted Jesus. And so children can understand, and children can be saved. Now, here's a letter from Spearfish, South Dakota. And now, listen to this. This is a beautiful letter. I just love it. He writes and says, this is a young man writing. He says, I just wanted to write to thank you for your TV church service. I had been watching your show for a year or so, but had never really understood what it meant to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Anyways, the devil knocked on my door, and then in parents he puts cult missionaries. He names what it is, and we're not going to name it, but it's a cult, and they're at his door. And he says, I accepted their invitation. At the time, I thought I was entering the one true church. After a year of being in the false church, the Holy Spirit took the blinders off my eyes. It was really weird because the first time that came to my mind was how you all would always tell us to come to Jesus. Before, I didn't understand what that meant. I didn't understand grace. But then all of a sudden, when the blinders came off, I understood like I never had before. I confessed myself a sinner. I asked for forgiveness, accepted the Lord's saving grace to cleanse me of all my sins, asked him to come into my heart and be my Lord and Savior. I was stubborn. I had to find the devil in order to learn who God is. God works in mysterious ways. Keep preaching the gospel, and God bless you. And so here's a man that had come with a false doctrine. One thing you can ask him is, do you believe in the Holy Trinity? That's one thing. Don't ask him if Jesus is the Son of God. They'll all say yes. But ask him, do you believe that Jesus Christ is God? Because he's the second person of the whole Holy Trinity. And if he's not teaching the truth, if those are people aren't teaching the truth and bind to the truth, get rid of them. St. John tells us in 2 John chapter 1 and verse 10, he says, if there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, that's the doctrine of the New Testament, the doctrine of the apostles. He says, and don't bring off this doctrine. Receive him not into your house. Don't open a door. And then he says, neither bid him Godspeed. Because when you bid him Godspeed, you're a party with him. And so this wonderful Lord Jesus Christ, just open your heart to him and then get the Bible. And if you want to start reading the Bible and you never read it, start with the Gospel of John. It's wonderful. And then we'll send you literature. And if you accept the Lord or you want literature, We'll send it to you. Write to us, and we'll give you that address. Get your pencil ready. Now, let me see. What do we got here? This is Gibson, North Carolina. Now, listen to this. And we've already answered this letter the first day. We tried to call this number. They didn't have a telephone number. Gibson, North Carolina. Dear Christian Worship Hour, I'm writing requesting prayer for me and my brother and my sister. We are sinners. We need to be saved. We need healing in our bodies and our mind. We are poor people. We only live on a very small disability government check on the month. We really stay in need all the time. We really are in need all the time. Thank you. God bless you. Doesn't that just touch your heart? Well, we sent literature. And like I say, we tried to call some of these people. We tried to call. And we sent literature. And they'll come to the Lord. Because the literature explains very simply what you do. You know how to come to the Lord. It teaches us Billy Graham literature that we have. And it says to tell you, just come to Jesus. Just, and in your own words, you say, Dear Jesus, I've sinned against you. And I just ask you to come into my heart and take away my sins. I'll make you the Lord of my life. I'll live for you the best I can. Because Jesus taught repentance. He says, turn from your evil ways. Walk with me. So just say, Dear Jesus, please come into my heart. And he'll come into your heart that very minute. Because he says, whosoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. And you can be saved. And then we'll give you literature to help you. Oh, God, isn't that beautiful? Coming to Jesus. There's nothing more beautiful in all of heaven. And you know when you come to Jesus, a sinner comes to Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit rejoice. Because the Bible says there's rejoicing in the presence of angels. That's the Holy Trinity rejoicing when you come to Jesus. Can you imagine it? Here's one more letter. And this writes, Keepa, Newton, Iowa. Keep up with letters people write. Most say what I would like to write, but my fingers don't work for me anymore. Love in Christian joy. And so here we are. People writing in, wanting to know the way, wanting to know about Jesus. And we're so happy to write to them. So now this is what you need to do. First of all, if you want any of this literature, you can write to us. You want the new song, perhaps. And then we have a little booklet on Can You Lose Your Salvation? And the answer is absolutely not. Once you're saved, you can never be lost. And it's a little booklet, and we'll send that. If you accept the Lord, we'll send that. And if you want to send some money to help us in the work, we need to have that. So you write to us at the Christian Worship Hour. That's the Christian Worship Hour. And the box is easy to remember, 2002, especially those of you on shortwave. You don't get a screen to look at. It's box 2002. And we're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402, USA. If you want to get us, if you want to send a gift anywhere in the world, you can do that. And you get on by getting on the short on the internet, ChristianWorshipHour.com. ChristianWorshipHour.com. And there it says donate, and you can send a gift. Wherever you are, we'll get it in currency, in United States currency, and we'll pay our bills. But we have to have your help. And you need to pray and say, Dear God, do I need to help these people? Is this something you want me to do? And then you ask him, and he'll tell you. And if he doesn't tell you to do it, don't do it. But you can just pray, because you know as well as I do, it costs us a lot of money to carry on this ministry. And it's all over the world. And then I know what you're thinking. Oh, I've heard about these evangelists on the television. They get a lot of money, and then they buy planes and cars and zip around. And, oh, I'm 95 years old. I'm not going to zip much. I'll kind of tell you that. But if you wonder about our finances, you can check this on the website. And it's the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. It's an international organization. They check our books. They check every penny we get and every penny we spend. And they're just all over us, checking us. And we're clean as a hound's tooth. So we need to hear from you. So now I'm going to pray, and Jan's going to play, and you give as the Lord lays on your heart, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota. Dear Lord, thank you for all of those people who help us, those who've helped us now for almost 40 years, and you've always been faithful, Lord. Some of them, most of them probably are already gone on to their reward, and they're with you, but some of them yet still are part of your families in heaven, part of your family on earth. And so the earth family has to help us carry on. So we're putting it all in your hands, giving you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, thank you, Jan. Thank you so much. Appreciate your ministry of music and on that piano. We're reading from John chapter 1 today, and the beginning with verse 1. And then in our prayer, we're going to pray for the persecuted church in Vietnam. And we'll all be praying for them this, especially this week. But John writes and says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of the light. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the children of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born, not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And that Word was made flesh, dwelt among us. We beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Word. We thank you for Jesus Christ, the light of the world. And we are all in darkness, and sin has blinded our eyes, and we are lost in that darkness. And then this beautiful light shines in and pierces that darkness. It breaks through, and we open our eyes to the light, and we ask you to come into our heart and be our Savior, and we follow you, and we serve you with great joy and happiness, and we forsake our evil ways and walk with the Lord. Oh, my God, what a wonderful thing it is that you sent your dear son, Jesus, and that he went to that cross and on that cross shed his blood to pay for our sins, because you've told us without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. And you've also told us that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin. And, oh, God, we're all sinners. The minute we get to the age of accountability, we have to account for those sins. And if we don't come to you with those sins, they'll drag us into hell. So we're praying today that many will open their hearts to you, and many, some who drifted away, come back to fellowship. And Lord, now we think of the persecuted church. We think of our brothers and sisters in Vietnam. We think of the little children, Lord. Some of them see their parents put to death or tortured, and some of them torture themselves. And oh God, we just wish you could put a stop to it. But you're waiting. You're waiting so that more, maybe somebody else, more people can come to you and be saved before you come and time is no more. And so bless them and help them to know, Lord, that they are encouragement to us, and they make us stronger and they make us more committed when we see how they stand for you. So now in this service, Lord, this is your service. Bless us. Use it to your honor and glory. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Barb's going to sing, and she's going to sing a song, I Am Home. Sounds good, Barb.
Imagine a place of beauty where the streets are paved with gold and the walls are made of jasper and the crystal river flows. A place where mansions line the streets and night will never be. I can't wait till I can say I'm home. I am home. I am home. I can see King Jesus on his throne. There's my family and my loved ones that have gone on. Sin there in that place, for all man is saved by grace, and no earthquakes or famine where there be found. There'll be no pain or sorrow there, for that's my home beyond compare, and I can't wait till I can say I'm home. I am home. I am home. I can see King Jesus on his throne. There's my family and my loved ones that have gone on.
Thank you, Barb. Whenever you sing anything about heaven, it just thrills my soul. And I know that we have multitudes of people that are moving along in years, and they're thinking about going home. And that's what Jesus says, I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And Thomas didn't. He says, well, Lord, I want to go home. I want to go to home with you. I want to go to heaven with you. But I don't know the road. I don't know the way. Where we don't have a road map. Jesus says, I'll tell you what the road map is. It's this. In the sixth verse, he said, I, Jesus, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father. Nobody goes home but through me, Jesus. Salvation is not through the rituals and the church and all of that. Salvation is a person, Jesus Christ. And so we rejoice about getting home. Well, we're going to look at Jesus Christ today. We just had our celebration of Christmas, and that's all past. And his coming into the world, being born of the Virgin Mary. And then we see how that he grew to manhood. And we're going to look at this wonderful Savior. And now we're going to look at him not as a baby, not as a strong young man, not as one who went to the cross, but we're going to look at him today as the eternal Son of God, the eternal God himself. Because, yes, indeed, Jesus Christ is the Christ of the eternities. And we're going to take all of our thoughts out of the first, of the opening parts, at least about Jesus, out of the Gospel of John chapter 1. So if you have your Bible and you'd like to, you turn to John chapter 1. And we're starting with the first verse. And the first verse says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus is called the Word. Now a man's word is the means by which he reveals what he is thinking. And so that name, so Jesus is called the Word because he's revealed the Word, a word of what God is thinking. He's showing us who God is and what God thinks and what God hates and what God loves. He's called the Word. He's called the Word because he's revealing this to us. And so you have the Holy Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. They are all God. And God the Father is God. And so he wants to reveal himself to us, so he sends Jesus. And God was in Christ showing himself to the world. And so if you want to know what God is like, see what Jesus is like, see? Because Jesus is that Word. He shows himself to us. He reveals himself in his Word. And so we speak that we know, and he speaks. And so that's the way God says. He speaks so we know, and his Word is Jesus. He speaks through Jesus. And he shows us the way. Here, Jesus is called the Word. And there can be no question about that interpretation because in verse 14 of this chapter, it says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. This is what we call the incarnation, when the Son of God came to earth, born of a woman, took upon himself human flesh, except without sin. He had no sin, all the rest of us do, but not Jesus. He dwelt among us. And so that's why we have this wonderful celebration at Christmas time. It's the coming of Jesus. The Word of God was made flesh. Jesus made flesh so he could walk with us. We are told of that person, Lord Jesus, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word was God. John is telling us the Word never had a beginning. God had never had any beginning. Now, Jesus had a beginning because he was born as a human being. But before that, he is the Son of God from all time eternity. And this did a little place in eternity and a little place in time. He comes down and takes on himself the form of a man. But he was always God. He was rich and he became poor, so that we through his poor riches, we are poorness, riches could become rich. And that it's all through the giving of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's because God, Jesus is God, and he's man in man, and he's going to walk among us. And so when we talk about, we say in the beginning, we think of the first verse of the Bible, maybe the creation of the Bible, maybe that's what it means. But John is telling us in this passage in first chapter 1, he is saying that he is not a part of creation because the Word is not a part of creation, because the Word created all things. So Jesus Christ existed before anything was ever created. As a matter of fact, there never was a time that he is before time. He is God eternal. There never was a time he wasn't the Word of God, that he wasn't God. And that's wonderful. Holy Spirit tells us over and over in the scriptures and applies it to our heart. Jesus Christ is God. And he was man and he was among us, but he was always God. And we need to keep that in mind. And so this wonderful, when we walk and talk with the Lord Jesus Christ, we're not talking with somebody who had his beginning 2,000 years ago in Bethlehem. We're talking to the eternal God who had no beginning and he has no ending, and you can't comprehend that. And you know why you can't comprehend that? Because we're not God. There isn't any way we can have. We can't love like God loves. Unless we have the love of Christ in our heart, we can share that love. But God, Jesus, never had a beginning and he never had an ending. And you can't understand that because you're not God. Only God can understand those things. And so this wonderful God, he comes, as Jesus comes, to reveal the Father. So we're told in Scripture, he that hath seen me has seen the Father. And so if you want to know what God is like, get to know what Jesus is like. And the more you know of Jesus, the more you'll know of God. They're the same. And then in the second verse it says, the same was in the beginning with God. And that's just another way of affirming what John has declared in the first verse. And that is, Jesus Christ was always the same. There never was a time that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit did not exist. Never was a time. And so they always were in the beginning of the world or creation, in the beginning of time. No, before the beginning of time, before there was time, there was Jesus Christ. God the Father, the Holy Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, the Holy Spirit. And so we call that the mystery of the Godhead. And we don't try to attempt to understand it. We don't attempt to explain it. We don't try to tell you beyond. It is beyond us because it's the work of God. It is God. And there isn't any way we can comprehend it any more than a worm crawling along that sidewalk. And you walk along, you see that worm crawling on the sidewalk. And that worm cannot comprehend what that man is. He cannot get it, has no idea. And that's the same thing with us. We cannot get the mind of God. We can have the love of God and the mind of Christ, but we can never know God fully until we see him in heaven. And so this explains the origin of matter, because in the third verse it says, all things were made by him, Jesus, the Word. All things were made by him. Without him not was not anything made that was made. And I might explain this so here, the Christians know where we came from. The world doesn't. The unbeliever, he's trying to figure out where we came from. And he's got a puddle of mud, and he thinks out of that puddle of mud, a human being comes. Yeah, he's got so many crazy ideas, you can't believe it. Christianity has always believed in the fact that God created the world. When Christianity talks about God creating the world, it means he made something out of nothing. It means he created the world, he made something out of nothing. Now, the unbeliever doesn't accept that. He doesn't believe in God. He doesn't want God in the picture. He won't give God any credit. And so they try to devise ways of bringing matter into existence. And it is impossible for the evolutionist to bring something out of nothing. He can't do it. Only God can do it. And if you refuse to acknowledge God, and you say, no, there is no God, I don't believe in God, I don't buy that stuff, I don't believe that, I'll take the theory of evolution. And that's what it is. It is a theory. And they call it a fact, but it isn't a fact because they're not honest. It is a theory because it has never been proven. And if it is a fact, you can prove it, and you cannot prove evolution. And I have a clue for you too, friends. It will never be proven because you can't prove a falsehood. So Jesus Christ is the Word, and he is the creator of all things. And the best translation of this should be, through him all things were made. That is, God the Father has the power, and Jesus Christ is the channel through which that power flows. and it flows in the creation of all the world and all the things there are. So the Son, the Word, created the world, and the world belongs to God. And we ought not desecrate it, we ought not pollute it, and we ought not worship it and try to put a stack it to ourselves and get all of the world we can, because it is not ours, it belongs to God. He made it, it's His. We had nothing to do about the making of it. So it says in John chapter 1, all things were made by Him. And that's in what the Greek language called the aorist tense. And it means that creation was made in its totality, or simply by one act of God, all creation is made. It didn't evolve and come from this and that and the other thing. It may change and so forth and that, but the matter itself and creation itself was an act of God, just His Word, the Word of God, and is in His in existence. How can that be? That can be because God did it, and God is in control and He's in charge. So the creation came by the mighty act of God. And so then we claim that it came from God, and so because of that, it just didn't happen. And by faith, we accept that, and because we accept that, well, there is this great God that we serve and we love. And we are told that this great God sent His Son. And so you have the story of redemption. You have the gospel. And we preach that gospel. And that He came so that we could have the gospel to preach. If Jesus Christ hadn't come to the cross and died and been buried and raised the third day, there would be no gospel. There would be no hope for any of us. But the good news of the gospel is through Jesus Christ. And so then it goes on. And it talks, and look at verse 4. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. That is, apart from God, there is no life. And that's why evolution is such a farce. There can be no life without God. And if they don't accept God and believe in God, there is no other source but God. That nothing became alive by itself is so ridiculous that just somehow, poof, there we are. And they say, well, he was an ape, and then he became a man, and they can't, and there's no connection. They're looking for the missing link. And I remember when I was just starting out in the ministry, 1944, 72 years ago, all that long time ago. And they were looking for the missing link. They're still missing. The missing link simply is that step from the ape to being a man. See? And there's a link there. Now, if you think that was a population, a whole population, and the apes all became people, you'd think there'd be a lot of missing links, wouldn't you? They never found a missing link, and they never will. I remember one time they had a story. They thought they found the missing link, and they found out it was some bone of some old cow, and they thought it was a man, and oh, were they ever disappointed. So they started looking again. You need to look to God. All natural life comes from God. And listen to this. All spiritual life comes from God. All natural life God gives us when we're born. He gives us that life. And that is why it is so wicked. He gives us that life. That's why it is so wicked to commit murder. And that's why abortion is so wicked. It's because they take life. And that life was made, man is made in the image of God. And when you strike at a life and kill a life, you're striking God. Made in God's image, and you're striking God. And when you have an abortion, you are taking life, and only God has that right. They say, well, the woman, if that child is in the woman's body, she can say what to do with it. She doesn't have any more say about it than the man in the moon, because that life is given to her by God, and she has no right to take it. And I want to stop right now and tell you something. If you've had an abortion, you've had to kill something. You had to kill a human being made in the image of God. But let me tell you, this is the good news of the gospel. If you come to Jesus, you ask Him to forgive you for all of that sin, He'll wash it all away. He'll take it all away. And I've worked with some of these people. I've talked with some of these people who had abortions. And they say, my little boy would have been 10 now or something like that. And they live with that. And God will take that all away if you just come to Him. And He says, Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. And so you come to Jesus and tell him, just tell him about your sin. Ask him to forgive you, and he'll forgive you. And you say, I can't imagine how God would do that. Well, of course you can't, because you don't understand grace, the wonderful grace of God. And grace is greater than all of our sins. And it says where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. The luck care of God, this wonderful God, come to him. But if you don't come to him and confess those sins, you're going to have to pay for it in the time to come. And so take Jesus. And God tells us in the 12th verse, he says, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the children of God, even to them that believe on his name. And so when you come to Jesus, you can have the Lord Jesus save you. A little bit later, John writes in 1 John, he said, he that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son hath not life. And so you have natural life that God gave you. You can have spiritual life by coming to Jesus. And I pray multitudes, I just believe multitudes are doing that right now. You're praying in your own words, in your own way. That's what God wants, it to come from your heart, saying, dear Jesus, come into my heart. Take away my sins. I hate my sins. I'm sorry for my sins. They've been plaguing me for years and years, and I don't know what to do about it. And I don't know which way to turn. And you turn to Jesus, and he loves you. And he'll take you in his arms, and he'll forgive you all your sins. And he'll write your name in the Lamb's Book of Life, and you'll be in glory. You'll be in heaven when that time comes for you to go. And so then John, the same John, after he talks about this, now he's an old man. He's an old man. And now this is what he writes, and you can turn to Revelation chapter 1, because we're going to look at some of those verses. Revelation chapter 1, it opens with a vision of Jesus. And it says in verse 8, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, who is and was and who is to come, the Almighty. Jesus Christ says he is the eternal one. He is the Christ of the eternities. He is forever. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so then John writes in the 13th verse, he has a description of this eternal Christ, the Christ of the eternities. He describes him. And he says he was clothed with a garment down to the foot, a long white garment. And that's a picture of Jesus interceding for his people, praying for his people in heaven. And then he says, and girt about the breast with a golden girdle. The New International Version has it, a golden sash around his chest. And that girdle speaks of, and that sash speaks of service, like at the Last Supper when Jesus put the towel, girded that towel, and he served his disciples. And then John says, he talks about he's girded for high priestly service at the right hand of God, praying for you and praying for me, interceding for me. And every time I sin, when thought or deed or any way, the dear Lord Jesus talks to the Father in heaven. He intercedes for me. He talks for me. And the devil accuses me, and he says to God, look at what he's doing. Look at what he's thinking about. Look at how he's acting. And I am guilty. I got to plead guilty. And the Jesus intercedes. He's a high priest, and he prays for him. Oh, yes. But that's all covered in the blood, Satan. You can't touch that. You can't resurrect that. And so then he goes on, and it says his hair, verse 14, his head and his hair were as white as snow, and as his eyes were like a flame of fire. And so this is the great eternal Christ, and he stuck, and he can just took their look at you, and he can look right to your heart. I can't tell what you're thinking or what you've done. I can't tell whether you're a hypocrite or whether something happened and we couldn't be helped. I don't know any of these things, but Jesus Christ has eyes of fire, and he pierces to the very heart and soul, and he's going to be that last judge, and we're going to give an account to him. And it says in the 14th verse, his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like bronze if burned in a furnace, and that's talking about judgment. And then he speaks, and it says, and his speech then, he says his voice like the sound of many waters. like if you stand at a cliff by the ocean and you hear the waters crash against that hard, wide, terribly hard. That's his voice. You see, my friends, that's when Jesus comes again. Jesus came the first time. He was meek and he was gentle. He was the Lamb of God. And he asked you to come to him. But if you don't come to him, he won't be a lamb when you meet him over there. He'll be the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And it'll be a horrible thing to fall into the hands of an angry God. But that's exactly what's going to happen if you don't have Jesus Christ. And so Jesus talks in John chapter 5, and he says this, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live." His voice is so powerful, it is so strong, and it is so living that he raises the dead with his voice. You remember Lazarus in the tomb and the voice of Jesus Christ? Lazarus, come forth, he raised the dead. He's going to raise the dead, and I'm going to tell you, you're going to have to meet him, because it says in the 16th verse, out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and that can be only one thing, and that is the Word of God. And the Word of God is telling us, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. The Bible is telling us all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible is telling us that the wages of sin is death, eternal death, hell. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord, the Christ of the eternities. He's talking to you today. He's talking to you right now, wherever you are, whoever you are, all over the world. He's talking to you right now, and he's saying, and something is saying to you, I ought to ask Jesus into my heart. He's knocking at my heart. He's talking to me now. I need to open my heart to him. I have to receive him. He doesn't break down walls, doors, and you just say, "Dear Jesus, I've sinned against you. Come into my heart. Take away my sins, and I'll serve you the best I can." Maybe you've drifted away from the Lord today, and you need to pray and say, "Dear Jesus, forgive me and take me back," and he'll take you back. Maybe you're sick. Maybe you're on a bed of sickness. Maybe you're lonely. Maybe you're weary. Maybe you're discouraged. Maybe you're having a divorce. Maybe the children are on drugs. Oh, my God, we get all kinds of letters, and we pray for every one of you. But you just come to Jesus wherever you are, anywhere in the world. You just have Jesus, come to Jesus. He loves you, and he'll accept you. And then you write to us, and we'll send you literature. Even in international, doesn't matter where in the world you are, we'll send you literature if you write to us. You write to us at the Christian Worship Hour, Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402, and the USA, or ChristianWorshipHour.com. You can send a gift that way. You write to us, and we'll reply to you. And we'll all be together someday through Jesus. But you have to have Jesus. And right now, if he's talking to you, make that prayer. Then write to us. And then get your Bible. If you have a Bible, read the Gospel of John. John chapter 2. Any chapter in the book of John. And it'll bless your heart and it'll strengthen you. So now we want to pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this time we've had. And we just thank you for the Savior. We thank you for the multitudes that have asked you to come into their heart, being born again right now. And we just pray, Lord, that you give them peace and joy. And we look forward to see them someday in that wonderful land. To those on beds of sickness and those who mourn the loss of a loved one and young people who don't know which way to turn or what to do, help them to turn to you. Help them to know that you love them and you're not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. So bless them. Some have decisions to make. Help them to make the right decision. Give them wisdom and guidance, and we'll give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. So it's been wonderful being with you, and we're always glad we could come. And we pray that you'll talk to others and tell others. Next week, we're going to have a sermon on where are the dead? What is death? What happens? What is death anyway? What happens when we die? And where do we go when we die? And what's the final result? And we're going to get into that. And I know it's going to be something that will bless your heart, because it's that same old story that in Jesus, there's always hope. And so when we come to Jesus, there isn't anything He can't handle. There isn't anything He can't do. He loves us now. But if we die in our sins, we have to face Him in His wrath. And so, oh dear God, I just pray for all of you, that all of you trust the Lord, that you'll have a good week, that you'll tell your friends and put everything in His hands. And then when the day is done and we go home to glory, we can see the Father in heaven and we'll all be together. And won't we have some celebration when all of us get together over there? And I can't see you. Some of you can see me, but those on a short wave can't. We'll see each other face to face. We'll see Jesus face to face. Oh, the best is yet to come. Don't miss it through trusting Jesus.
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. For the 76 years he was a pastor, he wanted everyone to know that Jesus loved them, died for them, and rose again, so that anyone who calls upon His name and repents of their sin will have eternal life in heaven. And for those of us that have received Jesus and are born again, Dad wanted to encourage us to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. I'm Mike Salem. To learn more about having a relationship with Jesus, visit our website at cwh.org. You can also stream this message again, as well as other 30 and 60 minute programs. Locate a station in your area. Subscribe to our monthly newsletter called A New Song. View frequently asked questions answered by Pastor Salem, as well as newly released devotions. And submit a prayer request on our Pray For Me page. Our weekly program will also be available on our website, our Facebook page, and our YouTube channel. We hope you have been uplifted by today's program. Please pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel through the Christian Worship Hour. We would be most grateful. Thank you, and God bless you.